I obviously need help this morning. So we're going a different route than what I had purposed earlier in the week. And the youth are going to help me read these verses as we go through this morning. But I thought, as I was pondering this, the youth went away on a winter retreat. And we did a spiritual checkup, and just to see where we're at spiritually, and to go through the basic good news of Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking, we should have all been on that retreat. We can't all snowboard anymore, I know that. I'm getting to that brink, and soon it will be no more. But I think it's imperative that we all go through the basics of the gospel with a fine-tooth comb so that we understand it, so that we're all on the same page, so that we all understand what the bad news is, what the good news is, and what's keeping us from making that choice. So this morning, as we go through this, we will be reading these scriptures. And it might be a little chaotic at times, but this winter retreat was a little chaotic at times, getting all the ski boots and things lined out. That was kind of crazy. Didn't get the right size. Had to go to the other side of the continent to get their skis. And it was all fun, though. And in the evenings, we took time and we looked over these details of the gospel. So this morning we'll do that together, and I pray that you'll be encouraged as well to maybe you fully understand the gospel. I hope you do. But if you do, I want you to be able to articulate it better to those who ask of the hope that you do have. So this may be a little different approach at how to understand the good news of Jesus Christ, but it's the gospel, it's God's word, and take what you can from it and be encouraged, if you would, this morning. Let's begin with prayer. God, I thank you for your love for us, and I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price that I should have paid. Because of your love and because of your grace, now I can have forgiveness of my sins, and I can have the hope of eternal life when I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand what that trust means. Help us to understand that this morning. Clarify it with your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Madison, you're first up, wherever you're at. So find a mic that you can go to, probably this one here, and everybody will be on that one, I guess. And Morgan, you're going to be right after hers. So, yeah, be ready to get right up there, okay? The bad news. We got to start with the bad news. What is the bad news, guys? What's that? We're all missing peace. We're all born missing peace. Ever since Adam and Eve, humans have been sliding away from God. We pointed our skis, and bear with me, we're on a ski weekend, all right? So there'll be ski terminology. If you don't understand it, just bear with us, all right? We've all pointed our skis downhill and gotten out of control, and there's no way to slow down. We're heading for disaster, Romans 5:12.
Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned.
As for the missing piece, we basically inherited that from Adam. Thank you, Adam. Thank you for giving that to us, right? Well, we all made that choice. And we're in an all-out war. There's no peace here. Actually, Galatians, let me read this verse for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We're not just in a skirmish here. We're in an all-out battle, our spirit against our flesh. In Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Everyone. Not just some of you, not just some of us. All of us have fallen short of God's standard for holiness. We've all missed that piece. The good news and the bad news is that we aren't just a bunch of robots who are programmed to function in a certain way. God gave us freedom to make decisions, to choose to follow Him or to choose to do our own thing. God wants His creation to worship Him. Robots can't worship. They can be programmed to do something that looks like worship, but they're programmed. It's not a choice they make. Real worship is a choice that one makes to praise God. Like Adam and Eve, we have a choice to worship our Creator or to do our own thing. And we have all chosen to do our own thing. The bad news is that we have all made those terrible choices called sin. Doing our own thing rather than God's thing. That has robbed us of peace and has put us at war with God. How bad is it? Well, Romans chapter 1. Did somebody get that one or not? I'll read that if they didn't. Romans chapter 1. I didn't put a name by it, so you probably didn't. Turn with me to Romans, if you would, please. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 are the main verses that I will read, but you can read the whole context there to see how bad it was and to realize that it's not that much worse today than it was back then. Same issues, same destiny, doing their own thing. For the wrath of God, verse 18 of chapter 1 of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which was known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When we're driving through the mountains, you cannot drive through the mountains and say, this just happened. You cannot, in right mind, in right conscience, say that this just happened. God created it for us to enjoy, and it's beautiful. We're without excuse. We know that God is around us because of what we see in creation. Verse 21, but even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. They began to start worshiping idols, thinking that that was God. Therefore, verse 24, God gave them over to their lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. As we looked at the ski slopes, there's green slopes and there's blue slopes and there's black slopes. Then there's the double blacks. Where's Brooklyn at? Don't do that. Annie, don't. Reed, come on. What are you thinking? But these guys, they're all runs that go downhill. The green runs, yeah, okay, for the illustration. The green runs, yeah, green. Good people. There's a lot of good people in this world on the green runs. Life is easy. Life is going great. Not very many wipeouts, not very many trees, just at a slow pace going downhill. Then there's some on the blue runs. They really aren't bad people. They come to church on Sunday anyway, but that's about where it stops. They're hitting some rocky spots in the roads, and some of the paths are really steeper than normal, and there's a few wipeouts along the way, but they manage to survive the blues. Then there's the black runs. These make the green people look really good. They're piling it up once in a while. They're rolling down. You see a garage sale once in a while with the skis and poles and every hat and glasses spread out everywhere. That's what we call garage sailing it. Tyler was there a few times. Then there are some on the double blacks. Not so bright of a choice. They've done a lot of really bad things. They know they're downhill. They know they've piled it up. Some of them are behind bars because of that. The problem is, last time I checked, Brooklyn, you're the next one up. The problem is, last time I checked, none of these runs go uphill. They're all headed downhill. Even if you're on a green slope or a blue slope, or knowingly on a black slope, you're going downhill. You're heading for disaster. Romans chapter 3.
Well then, should we include that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all, for we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise, no one is seeking God.
Isaiah, you're next up. We've all sinned, and the bad news on the top of the bad news is that there is death as the penalty for our rebellion. Romans 6:23, the first part of that verse, Isaiah.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, the bad part, the wages of sin, is what? Death. It's not good. This means we're separated from God, destined for hell, which is eternally separated from God our Creator. Not just for a few years or a few days until somebody pays something or prays hard enough for you to get out of that. You're destined for eternal judgment, separated from God forever and ever. But wait a minute. We read the last part of that verse as well. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. There's hope. There's good news. There's a way out of this mess. The good news? What is the good news? We have eternal life through what? Through Jesus Christ. Finding the missing piece. Emily, you're the next one up in Romans 5:8. The good news is God wants to give us a lift. Ski lift illustration, you know, get it? Okay. God wants to give us a lift out of our predicament. Romans 5, verse 8.
But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Awesome news. Even while we're still sinners. Bad news is we can't do it ourselves. There's no skiing uphill. Now, I say that every illustration breaks down at a certain point. I understand that. And after watching the Olympics this last week and those U.S. ladies skiing uphill, that was insane. And they just won the gold. Do you remember that? The skiing uphill guy, those cross-country skiers? Anybody watch that? I was screaming. I was yelling at them. And they won. That was awesome. They were actually skiing uphill, but in reality, I'm not going to be. You can't snowboard uphill. I mean, well, I suppose somebody could get a little ways, but you just can't go uphill. That's why they call it downhill skiing. I'm starting spitting. That's why they call it downhill skiing. We can't ski uphill. We need help. We need help. In Matthew chapter 19, There's a story, Jesus tells a story of a really rich kid that comes to Jesus and asks him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. What he needed to do to get to the top of the mountain. Back to our illustration. Jesus responded, keep all the commandments. And something that he knew is impossible for all of us. We know that because the law's been there and we've tried to do everything, but we always fall up short because we can't do everything that God expects. We just aren't perfect. We have weaknesses and we cave into sin too easy. We cannot keep all the commandments. But the rich guy, he was on a green slope. He was doing pretty good. He thought he had done everything that he needed to do. Life was easy. He was going easy on his skis. He was going downhill on a green. And life was pretty good. But the rich guy thought he had done pretty well in that area. Jesus knew way better that his wealth had a death grip on his soul. His wealth had a death grip on his heart. And when Jesus told him to give up all his stuff, give it away, he turned away and continued his downhill skiing on his green slope. He just couldn't bring himself to give up his wealth. Jesus turned to the people around him and explained that the only way to heaven is by God making it possible. It's like, for a rich man to get into heaven is like a camel going through the eye of the needle. It just doesn't work too well. Just doesn't work too well. You can try all you want, but there's not a needle big enough or a camel small enough for that to happen. So the disciples were confused and said, well, then who can get into heaven? Who can even get into heaven? They just threw up their hands. I think they said, well, I guess we're out. And Jesus told them, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And what did God do? God provided a way for you and me to get through that eye of that needle. It's through the grace of Jesus Christ. So what's the catch? We can't ski uphill. It's not going to happen, but through Jesus Christ, it's possible. The ticket is free. It's been paid for in full. No taxes, no fees. It's paid for. Romans 6:23b said that the gift of God is eternal life. The gift, the free gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Annie, get ready for Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Is that yours? All right, okay. The ticket is free. It's been paid for. You can't earn it by doing enough good skiing to go uphill. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
All right, there's no works that can get you there. You can try. You can get a little ways. The rich young ruler made it a little ways, but he was still going downhill. So what does that mean? Everyone gets a ticket? Emma. Read John 1:12 and read, right after her, read Romans 10:9 and 10.
Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Those that believe in his name. What does that actually mean? What does that involve? Romans 10:9 and 10 gives some more light in that.
That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you be your mouth that you confess and are saved.
All right, so there's confession, there's belief. That's all combined into way more than just acknowledging that there's a God out there. Trusting and acknowledging that I trust in Jesus. I'm not trusting myself. I can't do it. I need his help. Josh, John chapter 14, verse 6. So the only way to the top is to get on to the lift. Can't ski it. It can't be done. God has provided a way. His lift is John 14, verse 6.
And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
The only way is through Jesus Christ. To get to the lift, you got to have a ticket. Ironically, a lot of people seem to have a ticket, but they never get on to the lift. Just because you got a ticket doesn't mean you got on to the lift. Elizabeth, read Matthew 7. And Alex, read James 2:19. Come right on up, Alex. Matthew 7:21-23.
Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.
James 2, verse 19.
You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder.
To believe in something does not necessarily mean that you put your trust in it. The demons, like he just read, the demons acknowledge that Jesus Christ is real. They can't stand the sight of him. They can't stand his name. They cannot stand in his presence because they've chosen to do otherwise. I mean, you can have a lift ticket. I wish I would have brought my lift ticket with me. You can have a lift ticket, but if you never get on the lift, are you going to the top of the mountain? If you never really trust Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, you cannot get to the top of the mountain. It's impossible. Jesus Christ is the only way. Getting on the lift means leaving some things behind. Not your skis. Some of you lost your skis getting onto the lift. That wasn't very good. Some of you lost your board on the way down. That's not any good at all. But getting on the lift means leaving some things behind. And leaving things behind, like the rich guy, doesn't set well with some people because of that death grip. Some think, like the rich guy, that all you have to do is get a ticket but not get on the lift. Des, could you read 2 Peter 3, verse 9? Repenting means to turn away from something. To get onto the lift, leave something behind. Romans 2, or 2 Peter 3, 9.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
See, it's God's grace. God's grace, he slows down the lift. If you haven't ever gone skiing, slowing down the lift is kind of an embarrassment. If all of a sudden they're hitting the brakes on the lift because you're in line, it's kind of embarrassing. But you know, that's God's grace. That's God's grace. He slows it down for us. He slows it down for us so that we can get on. He's not just running that lift and saying, well, you missed it. You're done. Just get off to the side. Go off the edge. Keep going downhill. No, he slows down the lift. That's God's grace. It's an incredible grace that God gives to us. Caden, I want you to read Matthew 16, verse 24 through 26. Following Jesus means just that. Following. Following. If you're a follower of Jesus, that means you're following Jesus. You're doing what he asks you to do. You're interested in the things that he's interested. You cry over the things that he cries over. That's following Jesus. Turning away from your own agenda, my own agenda, and following his. Matthew 16.
And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it."
Some of you thought you were losing your life when you went over some of those edges and looked at the steep hill there. But losing yourself, saying no to yourself, to your own agenda, and saying yes to Jesus' agenda. That's what it requires. Taking up your cross. Dying to what you want to do with life. And saying yes to what Jesus created you to do in life. So yeah, what's the catch? If you call it that, it's your choice, your call. What are you going to do with it? It's your choice. It's a choice. Do you surrender yourself to Jesus Christ and His agenda for your life? When you do, you left out one piece in here. They knew I was going to take one piece, but when they got it all done, it looked like a great puzzle. But then we turned it over, and then it came to this slide. I don't know if you got this slide up there or not. No Jesus, no peace. You've heard this before, maybe. But if you have no Jesus, there is no peace. The only way to peace is to know Jesus, to have a personal relationship with Him. Joel, come read Romans 5, verse 1. When we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, this is what happens.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When we're justified, when our sin has been paid for, you have peace. I have peace. The war is no longer there. We are no longer in opposition with God. We are on His team when we surrender to Him. We receive His forgiveness. The battle is gone between Him and you, me and Him. We are on the same team. The battle is gone. Now the battle is between me and my sin and dealing with the issues every day. Galatians 5:22, Annie, would you read that one? Don't have to read the whole thing, just up to that important word that we're concentrating on today, Galatians 5:22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace.
And it's a lot of other things, but it's peace. It's peace. When the Spirit of God is inside of you, you open up your door to Him. He comes inside of you, and He brings peace. And you can't have it any other way. You can't get it any other way. You can't get it by trying to ski uphill. That just exhausts you. It's terribly exhausting. If you saw those girls doing that cross-country skiing, she went down at the end, a split second ahead of her opponent, and she pretty much passed out. She had nothing left. In reality, you just can't ski uphill. It can't be done. We don't have enough in us to ski uphill. We have to go through Jesus Christ. And when we do, we find peace. It's like we hit that finish line like she did, and we just fall over saying, I'm done trying. I don't have to try. God has given me that peace. That peace comes when we have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So, what's the hang-up? What's keeping you from following Jesus Christ? You can pretty much boil it down to three major categories of sin. And I won't exhaust those categories, but money, sex, and power. What is keeping you, what one of those three things, one of those categories is keeping you from surrendering your life to Jesus Christ? To the rich young guy that came to Jesus, it was money. Money had a death grip on him. To some of you, it may be the area of your sexuality that you think you can do it your way rather than God's way. And you realize this is a double black diamond going downhill, and it's disaster. Thanks to the grace of God, he says, come to me, and I will forgive your sins. I'll cleanse you, and I'll make you, give you a new start. I'll get you on the lift to the top. Maybe it's you're just in, you think that you can have control of your own life. You can stay in control. Or you know, I can control enough people, I'll be all right. I'm master of my domain. No, you're not. Just letting you know, if you haven't found that out yet, Jesus wants to be master of your domain. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. And peace is not found by doing your own thing, controlling your own world, your own group of people, or whatever it may be. Peace is only through Jesus Christ. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, there is no peace. You have a decision to make. Joel chapter 3 talks about the coming judgment, and there's going to be judgments upon judgments, and the multitudes of people that have made decisions to do their own thing. It's in a valley of decisions. I think we're here in a valley of decisions. What is your decision? You're faced with a decision. What are you going to do with it today? This is the good news. The bad news is we're in a pileup. We're in a mess. But thanks be to Jesus Christ. He has given us a lift out of our mess through Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with it? What's keeping you from surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ? I pray this morning that you'll surrender your heart. If you don't understand what I've presented here, please talk to me. Talk to somebody that knows Jesus. I want you to experience that peace, because if you don't know Jesus, you really do not sleep in peace at night.